This is Pierce Hall in All Souls Church, Washington, D.C., and this is where the original album Jazz Samba was recorded in February 1962, exactly 50 years ago, by Stan Getz and Charlie Bird and their musicians. The Jazz Samba album was pretty much the album which put bossa nova music on the map. Obviously, it was created in Brazil, and Charlie Bird and his trio did a State Department tour of Latin America where they heard this music for the first time in 61. Then they came here, recorded this album, which nobody really knew if it was going to be a hit or not, but it was a sensational worldwide hit immediately. Went to number one in the Billboard pop chart, the only jazz album ever to do that. They were looking at a different venue, a Jewish center on 16th Street originally, and they discovered as they were leaving, this was Charlie Bird and Creed Taylor, that there was a bus stop outside, and so the noise of the buses was just too much for recording. And Charlie Bird said, hey, there is another place. And he was actually a member of this church and came here and got permission to do the recording here.
It's funny, we were looking also at pictures of the musicians recording here, Jazz Samba, and noticed that today the curtains still can't close, just like on that picture. And it was really fun for us to be able to rehearse here and kind of get into the vibe of how it must have felt on that February afternoon recording Jazz Samba. We did think of recording here. We felt it was too complex. We would have had to bring in a studio. It's also a neighborhood that's expanding just a block away. There's a lot of construction going on. So there were a lot of factors that would have been out of our control. But we still wanted to come here. So we came down with sax player and trombone player. And I just played.
Do you have a sense of where things were set up in this room for the session?
Yeah, there's one famous photograph from that session, and the band was set up on the stage.
It's very bare. It's just those curtains. Stan Getz is on the left here. You have Joe Bird in the middle and Charlie Bird. Unfortunately, the picture doesn't have the other musicians.
They were close mics, but only with three or four microphones, and then they recorded the whole thing live. It took 3 hours from start to finish to record that album, and they recorded it live to an old-style, reel-to-reel 1962 tape recorder with no effects, just the natural reverb of this room. Stan Getz flew down for the session from New York, and he got on a plane the same day and flew back home. The interesting thing about the recording that day was they used two drummers, which was really unusual, but that was the secret of getting the bossa nova sound. They tried to record this album in New York with different musicians, and it just didn't work. And so when they came down here, they had Buddy Deppenschmidt, who'd been on the tour with the Charlie Bird Trio, and he'd learnt these rhythms from Brazilian musicians. And then Bill Reichenbach joining on drums as well. So they had this double percussion thing going. We interviewed Joe Bird as well just before his death recently, and he told us that he played both bass and acoustic guitar on this album. He said at some stages there were two bass players. So I said, Joe, why two bass players and on which songs? He said, it was a long time ago. I can't remember. It was some crazy idea, but we had two bass players. Jazz Samba was purely an instrumental album. It included songs from some of the people who subsequently became famous from Brazil, Tom Jobim, Baden Powell, and it was completely instrumental. A lot of those tunes did have vocals, but not on this recording. Ella Fitzgerald did a great version of One Note Samba.
Yes.
There was a later album with Frank Sinatra and Jobim where Sinatra chose a lot of those tracks as well. And in fact, one of the tracks, Wave, which wasn't on Jazz Samba but is on our album, we chose partly because of the story. It was written in 67 by Jobim as an instrumental. And then Jobim adored Frank Sinatra. Everybody adored Frank Sinatra in 1967. One day he gets a phone call saying, this is Mr. Sinatra. I'd like to record an album with you. And the next thing Jobim knows, he's put up in an apartment in Los Angeles, waiting for Mr. Sinatra to call him and say, I'm ready to sing. And Sinatra had said, I want to record Wave. Jobim went straight back to his apartment and wrote lyrics for it there and then, you know. So we only know that pretty much as a vocal song now. And some of the other songs, like Ei Luxo So, Is in Portuguese. I don't think there's an English lyric to it. We perform it in Portuguese, and so it's less well known, but it's just such a gorgeous song.
It's beautiful.
Play for me with your voices what the bossa nova feel is.
So, like, if you think of a song like One Note Samba, so there's a syncopation going on there. It's not straight on the beat each time, and a samba is in 2/4 time, bam, 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 bam. It's got that feel. Whereas the bossa nova plays with that, it kind of stretches it, it syncopates it, and goes back into 4/4 time. But with that, it's that hesitation on some of the notes.
We're just standing here, and we're hearing our feet squeak, and this room just sort of breathes.
Well, I think in particular the playing of Stan Getz, when you actually listen to the jazz samba recording, the sax sounds so full, it just floats above everything with that reverb that this room's got. And whenever you hear nylon string classical guitars in a classical setting, there's always a lot of reverb, a lot of hall reverb, and so it fitted with that as well. And I think one of the great things about the album was it was rare to hear jazz played on nylon string acoustic guitars. So not only did you have that incredibly melodic sense of the composition from Stan Getz, you had this gentle, intricate nylon string guitar work going on as well, and the double percussion. So it was jazz, but it was a whole different kind of jazz. And on the album cover at the time, they actually described it as Brazilian folk music. In putting our album together, we decided to take a handful of songs from that original album, of course with vocals, because we're a vocal band, and then some of the kind of classic bossa novas after that. And we tried to choose things which showed the global spread. So we put a French bossa nova on there, written by the Brazilian Baden Powell, but it was with a French lyric. And then we took another handful of songs which were not bossa novas at all, songs like Autumn Leaves, songs like Waiting in Vain, the reggae song by Bob Marley, and gave them a bossa nova treatment. But when we play these songs live, we get two reactions. It's always positive, but we get the reactions from younger people who say, "What is? I love that. So what is that? I know that." And that's why we say it's part of people's DNA, but we don't necessarily know where it came from and what it's about. And then we get the people who are a little bit older who will say either, "Wow, I grew up listening to that. My parents were playing that album all the time." Or even a little bit older than that will say, "I remember when I had that album, and it was when I met my first girlfriend, or when I met my wife, and I was sitting by a pool in California, and that was on the radio all the time." And so it crosses the generations for sure.